Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Stephen Kuhl is here. Stephen is a great member of our Brain Trust, one of my good friends, chartered financial analyst, responsible for financial institutions and strategic partnerships at Western Union Business, the Business Solutions Division of that company. He's been doing this now for a long time, and he's been a member of our Brain Trust now for a long time, and we're glad to have him here. Stephen, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Glad to be back.
Always a pleasure to have you here. Hey, Steve, you know, one of the things that Americans often you hear us say and think about and maybe even brag about is that we live in the greatest country in the world. I know we live in the most benevolent country in the world. Warts and all, with all the things that we may have done that weren't perfect, no other country is as successful, as prosperous, and as benevolent to the rest of the world, and benign, really, other than to the bad guys, than the United States. But there's one thing that I think most of us take for granted, even if we know, and that is the power that we have as Americans, as the co-owners of the most powerful tool and maybe defensive and offensive weapon in the world, and that's the U.S. dollar. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, Jim, your description is absolutely correct. And I think, you know, the U.S. dollar as a manifestation, a reflection of the strength of the U.S. economy at large is certainly probably the number one kind of economic monetary indicator, you know, of the potency of what we represent.
That's right.
So, for example, if you look at global commerce and add it all up worldwide, the U.S. dollar involved in all of foreign exchange trading is on one side, that is the buy side or the sell side of all of that activity that's generated day in, day out, to about 80-85%.
Wow.
That's how high the U.S. dollar is.
Even countries who have their own currency individually will trade with each other in dollars.
Undoubtedly. I mean, and you know, Jim, there's so many sectors, whether it's, you know, commodity, petroleum, that are
oil and natural gas are denominated in dollars.
Exactly. I think that's a profound testimony when you look at 80-85% of all international foreign exchange transactions involve the U.S. dollar on one side, the buy side or sell side of the equation. That is profound in my mind.
Yeah.
It separates itself as absolutely the default global commerce currency of the world.
It's the safe harbor currency, no question about that. And if you kick open the doors of the vaults of the Treasury of 90% of the third world countries, their currency isn't inside that vault. The U.S. dollars are inside that vault. And here's a little personal experience. I was in Italy when the euro came to be. And I even though the euro was valued at a nickel more per dollar than you could buy a euro was a dollar and a nickel, euro and a nickel, so to speak, and the dollar was a dollar, the Italians would take dollars. If you had dollars, they'd take my dollars instead of the euro, even though it cost them a nickel. they believed in the dollar that much. So what does that mean for small business owners? How should we think about leveraging that power, co-owning and claiming that power?
Well, I think first and foremost for small businesses, they can think about it in a couple different ways. One, there's an advantage in terms of acceptance, as you just indicated, in the U.S. dollar. So in terms of things, whether it's invoicing, if they're exporting, you know, that makes it all the easier, more fluid with respect to your counterpart overseas to accept your currency. Second, as a result, we're a little bit in a privileged position here from a risk perspective. As everybody knows, respective currencies go up and down. If you have that default opportunity to coordinate everything, that is payables, receivables, international in U.S. dollars, that to a large extent takes out that inherent foreign exchange risk that that many other countries and small businesses in those countries don't have the privilege of enjoying, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the point is folks, if they have an opportunity to buy from you, if another country, someone in another country has an opportunity to buy from you, you don't even have to be dollar for not penny for penny competitive with a competitor country or person in another country. The dollar could actually help you with your margins. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Because of that liquidity we talked about earlier, that's exactly right. There's that privileged status that goes along with it that everybody desires and accepts U.S. dollars to a very, very significant extent around the world. So, you know, in terms of, the acceptance, that comfort, if you will, the U.S. dollar is second to none. And going back, Jim, you know, you mentioned kind of the central banks and the U.S. dollar being the reserve currency of choice. In many, many countries, basically you look at what they have, as you described, in their respective vaults to a very, very significant degree, it is dominated by U.S. dollars. So there really is not another currency, to put it in perspective, around the world. You had cited euros earlier that even come close in terms of the liquidity that is cycled in from a currency.
And as technology and communication increasingly shrinks the world, more and more trade opportunities are going to be made available to small business owners. The trade aspect of the economy is getting more micro, isn't it? The increments of trade across the world with all the technology we have now is becoming more micro. Because, for one thing, some of the stuff we sell isn't even put in the box. It's digital, right?
That's exactly correct. You know, we talked about kind of that aspect that so much now is, intellectual property based, as you mentioned, digital in nature. But if we look at, small, mid-sized businesses, I think we've touched on this in prior episodes. Right. A lot of Americans don't realize this, but when they look at all of the corporate entities that we have, and we have a whole bunch, mm-hmm. The ones that are involved in importing or exporting to any degree, about 97-98% are comprised of small businesses.
It's a high
businesses.
Number. High number. Stephen, hold on.
Very, very high
Stephen
number.
Kuhl, ladies and gentlemen, with Western Union. He and I will be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about how you can work with your local bank to get yourself ready, if you're not already doing it, to get yourself ready for what certainly will be some trade opportunity, some international opportunity one day in the future, probably sooner than you think. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.